Thank you and good afternoon. The proposed ag bill is going to be moving forward after the Senate Agriculture Committee passed its version of the farm bill Wednesday, sending it on to the full Senate for consideration. Senators voted 20-1 with just Iowa's Chuck Grassley voting against the bill. The markup session included a visit by Senate Leader Mitch McConnell, who told the committee the Senate will consider the farm bill before the July 4th recess. Further, Minority Leader Chuck Schumer has asked his party to not slow down the process. In a joint statement, committee leaders Pat Roberts and Debbie Stanow said the bipartisan farm bill process is a reminder of how things should work in Washington, while urging their Senate colleagues to support the bill. Roberts said he was hopeful the Senate would consider the bill next week. The Senate bill was created to receive votes from both sides of the aisle, a stark difference from the Republican-only backed House version of the bill that failed last month. House Ag Democrats want to go back to the drawing board to fix the bill, while the Freedom Caucus is also demanding a vote on immigration before reconsidering the farm bill. The passed farm bill includes improved dairy provisions, according to Wisconsin Democrat Tammy Baldwin. Baldwin is supportive of the language that she says improves the Dairy Margin Protection Program just months after lawmakers made changes to the program in the Bipartisan Budget Act of 2018.
We are in the Senate Farm Bill making some significant upgrades and improvements in MPP so that they have an insurance tool, a risk management tool that will really do a better job. And so specifically, with regard to the MPP program, we will have significant discounts for smaller scale and medium scale dairy farms, discounts in the premiums, and a higher margin of up to $9. So these two in combination, I think, really target the help and relief to where it's needed in our state.
While Baldwin is not a member of the committee that passed the bill 20-1 Wednesday, she does hold a seat on the Appropriations Subcommittee on Agriculture. She says the bipartisan bill, a stark difference compared to the House bill, offers leverage to move forward and get a farm bill to President Trump.
In order to pass a farm bill, it has to pass in identical form in both houses. I think that the Senate, if we're able to pass it on a strong bipartisan vote, we should have leverage in the conference committee where we reconcile the differences between the two bills to champion the provisions that are in the Senate bill and get them to the president's desk.
That was Wisconsin Democrat Tammy Baldwin. The farm bill isn't the only topic in national news today. President Trump is set to launch tariffs against China. President Donald Trump could impose tariffs on Chinese goods Friday or perhaps next week, according to Politico. Sources say the imminent move faces a Friday deadline for publishing a final list of goods that will be hit with the 25% tariff. However, the order for the products list deadline does not offer a timeline on when the tariffs will be imposed. Experts don't expect much change from the proposed list of products, but say some items could be removed from the list following the earlier public comment period. The tariffs are sure to spark further tensions in the ongoing trade talks and trade war between the U.S. and China, as China targets U.S. agricultural products. China has even directed its own farmers to grow more soybeans to lessen the nation's dependence on U.S. soy. Mexican sorghum buyers are set to visit Kansas and Texas. A team of Mexican grain importers and feed millers will tour U.S. sorghum growing areas next week. The team from the National Association of Food Manufacturers for Animal Consumption will make stops in Texas and Kansas as part of an effort to develop new relationships and strengthen existing relationships with U.S. suppliers. The group of buyers was selected by the U.S. Grains Council and represent key companies representing livestock and livestock feed operations in Mexico. Grains Council CEO Tom Slight called Mexico a valued trading partner when it comes to sorghum, in large part to the importance of the North American Free Trade Agreement. Meanwhile, a sorghum checkoff spokesperson says the buyers will leave with a better understanding of U.S. sorghum quality and production. Mexico accounted for $103 million in exports of U.S. sorghum, equating to 568,000 metric tons, or 22.4 billion bushels during the 2016-2017 marketing year and is the second largest export market for U.S. sorghum behind China. The alleged war on biofuels heated up this week when South Dakota farmers rallied against the Environmental Protection Agency. As EPA Administrator Scott Pruitt visited the state, a tractor rally in Sioux Falls featured more than 200 participants that Growth Energy says voiced their concerns about attacks on biofuels, including the RIN export proposal, hardship waivers for refiners under the renewable fuel standard, and the delay in allowing year-round E15 sales. Pruitt said in an event earlier this week in Kansas that the EPA has the authority to allow year-round E15 and would do so. However, farmers who rallied Wednesday expressed concerns with Pruitt's track record, which shows agriculture's concerns have fallen on deaf ears at the EPA. Pruitt called the meeting during the Midwestern trip informative, along with candid and productive. Pruitt also told farmers during his meeting Tuesday that he expects to send a new Waters of the U.S. rule to the White House this week for review by the Office of Management and Budget. The Farm Show will continue after these messages. Farmers may soon see a rise in pesticide costs while the weed issues they are facing persist. Pesticide costs continue to creep higher as farmers deal with more herbicide-resistant weed issues, according to the University of Illinois. Records show average pesticide costs on highly productive farmland in central Illinois increased about 4% per year from 2000 to 2012 and doubled from an average of $33 per acre in 2000 to $66 in 2013. Pesticide costs reached an average of $73 per acre last year. Many weeds are developing herbicide resistance. Herbicide resistance leads to a use of alternative pesticide combinations, which are generally more expensive than pesticide packages used when herbicide resistance is an issue, said Gary Steinarnke, U of I farm management specialist. Herbicide resistance likely will become more of a problem in the future, Steinarnke continued. As a result, pesticide costs should be expected to increase. Steinarnke looks for seed costs to remain fairly stable this year compared to last year and in 2019, while fertilizer rates will become clearer by the fall. The sum of the three costs, fertilizer, pesticide, and seed, increased an average of 12% annually in central Illinois between 2006 and 2013, before slowing to 4% annual growth from 2013 to 2016. Those costs averaged a total of $323 per acre last year, $50 below the 2013 high, but still considerably above cost prior to 2009. Looking ahead to next year, Steinarnke predicts the trends of higher pesticide costs and stabled seed prices could continue, with fertilizer prices a bit of a wild card. At this point, it seems reasonable to expect the sum of fertilizer, seed, and chemical costs to remain stable or increase in 2019, Steinarnke concluded. An Illinois farmer went from a yield of 100 bushels per acre of soybeans to no longer farming. In the fall of 2014, Illinois farmer Dan Arkels felt like he had won the World Series. He was the first Illinois farmer to have reached the 100 bushels per acre mark in the Illinois Soybean Association's Yield Challenge, but now he's no longer farming. Earlier this year, a farm sale was held in Illinois that marked the end of the 39-year farming career. After several consecutive years of losing money, doing what he loved, Darn Arkels came to the tough decision to stop farming.
3 years of losing money and farming a lot of ground takes a toll on a guy, and I was self-made and, I had a hard time making that decision, but if you can't make money at what you're doing, selling $3.40 corn is just not going to cut it, and you have to make some really tough decisions, and that was a tough decision. It was one that had to be made, and I thought instead of going another year, I'd just call it quits and go a different direction.
Arkel started farming with his grandfather and had grown the operation over the years to include around 3,500 acres in LaSalle and Livingston counties. However, depressed commodity prices coupled with high input costs and cash rents became too much to bear.
It was tough. I mean, I was doing really good, and I was farming 3,500 acres, and it's the hardest thing I ever had to do. It takes you to a really dark place in your life, and when I say that, you don't see a way to get out. Something like I've never experienced before in my life, and it was really hard to come out of that. But I have come out of it. I have a brighter outlook on life.
Since selling the farm, Arkell said he's heard from growers all over the country that are struggling on their own operations.
It's really tough right now, and there's producers all over the country that I've talked to since this has happened to me, and there are so many guys that are in the same position that I am, and they don't know what to do, and it's amazing how many guys that I know that are in the same similar situation. I mean, I don't care how many bushels per acre you raise, you got to have $4 for corn to break even or possibly make any kind of a profit at all. You know, it's a sad day in the United States of America when the American farmer can't make a profit on what he's doing, and he's growing food to feed and fuel the world, and everybody's making money except for him, and there's something really not right with that picture.
Looking back, Arkell's wishes he would have grown more soybeans than corn on his operation.
What do we need to do? We need to find more demand for what we're growing. The demand for beans is there. I believe I wasn't growing enough soybeans in my operation. I was growing too much corn. You know, hindsight being 2020, you always hope you're doing the right thing, but you never know for sure until after it's all over with.
Arkell's has taken a position with the ag biological company, BioVant, and says his stress level is non-existent compared to what it was on the farm over the past few years. He hopes telling his story lets other farmers know that they are not alone in these stressful economic times. Some local events coming up. The Betsy Ann Picnic held in Brighton starts today and continues till tomorrow night. Southwestern FFA will be hosting a kitty corner, complete with face painting and a pie-in-the-face game. There will also be a raffle, and all proceeds will go to the St. Paul UMC Church in Brighton. Come on out for some fish, burgoo, carnival rides, and fun for all. The Greene County Fair starts this week on Friday at 8 a.m. with the FFA show. Saturday morning begins at 8 a.m. with the 4-H show, but before the exhibitors start showing, be sure to send them up to get breakfast from CHS Shipment. CHS will be serving breakfast from 6 to 8:30 a.m. for 4-H exhibitors Saturday morning. Sunday at noon, the Western Horse Show will begin in the Riding Arena. The Greene County Fair runs until next Saturday, June 23rd. Montgomery County Fair begins next week on Wednesday, June 20th, with the Sheep Show at 9 a.m. and the Goat Show at noon. Thursday the 21st, the Beef Show will begin at 9 a.m. Friday the 22nd, the Swine Show will begin at 9 a.m. Be sure to mark these events in your calendar and come support your local agriculture. That's all the time we have today on your afternoon farm show. Reporting for WSMI, this has been Jamie Geisler.